Let's bow before the Lord. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to worship you. We are not worthy to come into your presence, and yet you have, through the blood of Jesus, through our resurrected Lord, he is now our great high priest, and he invites us to come boldly before the throne of grace, that we might receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Father, that time of need, when we need your mercy and your grace and your help, is all the time. Jesus said, apart from him, we could do nothing. And we acknowledge that. We agree with that. But we thank you that we never have to be apart from him. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for his salvation in our past. Thank you for his promise of his coming in our future. Thank you, Father, for his present intercession for us right now in heaven. Minister to us through your word, Father, and encourage us as we meet together, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We are taking a 5-Sunday detour from our study in 1 Peter, studying the 5 solas of the Reformation. Tuesday will be the 500th anniversary of when Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses on the church door of the church in Wittenberg, Germany. And that was the catalyst, that was the springboard that launched the Reformation, that recovered 5 essential biblical truths that are really the foundation for what we believe. They're called the 5 solas. The word sola is a Greek word that means only. And so we start with sola scriptura. It's only scripture. This is the only place where we can find instruction, information that we need to be able to find out about God. He has revealed to us himself in nature in a limited sense. We can find out that he's a great and powerful God through nature, but we can't find out his love and his mercy and his salvation through Christ except in scripture. So then we looked at solus Christus, only Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. And we considered sola gratia, only by grace. It's all by the grace of God. We don't deserve it. We don't work for it. We don't earn it. God offers relationship with him, forgiveness of our sins, solely by grace. That's from his point perspective. It's grace from his point. For us, it's sola fide. And that was the great truth that Martin Luther discovered from Romans 1. Every good thing comes from Romans, doesn't it? Okay. From Romans 1. For the just shall live by faith. And so, in opposition to the state church of his day that was selling indulgences and telling people you've got to do all these works and sacraments and things like that, Martin Luther rediscovered the truth that had been in Scripture all along, that we are saved by faith alone, in Christ alone, through the grace of God alone. And now, this morning, we're looking at the last of the solas, soli Deo Gloria. Soli Deo Gloria, only to the glory of God. So just again, by way of review, the 5 solas, we looked at sola scriptura, and we spent our time in 2 Timothy, establishing the fact that it's really scripture that we need. We don't need more books on philosophy and psychology and sociology and all that stuff. We need to be men and women of the book. This is the psychology, sociology, and philosophy that we need. This is the book. Solus Christus. We looked at Jesus' defense of himself after he had healed a man who had been lame for 36 years, 38 years. The Jews accused him. Why are you doing this? And in John chapter 5, verses 16 through 46, Jesus defends himself. And so we looked at that. Many other passages we could have looked at. That's where we focused. Only by grace. We spent our time in the book of Ephesians, just going through chapter after chapter in the book of Ephesians, seeing how everything is by his grace. And we're going to be back in Ephesians again. And in sola fide, only by faith, we took the portion of the book of Romans where after Paul has proven that we are all sinners guilty before a holy God, Romans chapter 3:21 through 4:25, he shows what we need to do about that. 25 times in that passage he says faith or believe. We're not saved by doing good works. We're not saved by joining a church or or giving an offering or anything else. We're saved simply by believing in Christ. And so today we're looking at soli deo gloria, only to the glory of God. And I confess that it was difficult for me to kind of break these up into five exclusive messages because they're all interrelated. They all fit together to a certain extent. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. I ask you to turn to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Ephesians 2, 8, Paul says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God." By grace you've been saved through faith. Those are two of the solas. Sola gratia, sola fide. Only by grace, only by faith. And they're related. The faith that we received is a gift from God. It's by His grace that we believe. It's all related. Look at another passage. Go with me to Acts chapter 18. We'll come back to Ephesians. Was I too late to tell you to leave a marker in there? Okay. Acts chapter 18. Priscilla and Aquila had straightened out the young man named Apollos who was teaching, but he didn't have all the information that they did. And so they filled him in on Jesus and His coming. And then he wants to share that with others. He wants to spread that truth. Verse 27, Acts 18, 27. "And when he wanted to go across to Achaia," that's Greece, "the brethren encouraged him and wrote to the disciples to welcome him. And when he had arrived, he greatly helped." Now underline this whole last phrase, this whole last line of verse 27. "Those who had believed through grace." You get that? Those who had believed through grace. Not only are we saved by grace, we're saved by grace through faith, by believing. But even that believing is by the grace of God. Left to ourselves, we would never by ourselves come to the point of saying, "Yes, I believe in Jesus." It's by His grace. Those who would believe, sola fide, through grace, sola gratia. See, they're all tied together. They're all intercoordinated, interlinked. So when we're looking at these five solas separately, I'm not really giving you a clear picture. I'm trying to give you the full picture this morning. But this morning we want to look at the last. Our salvation and everything is to the glory of God. And I want you to go back to Ephesians with me. Ephesians chapter 1. And we're going to look at Paul's discussion of our salvation there. We looked at this a couple of weeks ago when we were going through Ephesians, considering sola gratia, that it was all by grace. But I want to focus on a little bit more. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14, Paul is giving an elaborate description of our salvation, and he is relating our salvation to the three persons of the Godhead. The three persons of the Godhead. In verses 3 through 6, he primarily focuses on the work of God the Father for our salvation. The work of God the Father. So go through these verses just quickly with me. We're not going to spend time talking too much about these different points, but I want you to see the different points. What has God the Father done for us as part of our salvation? Verse 3, He's blessed us. He's blessed us. Verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." The poorest saint on earth is rich in heavenly spiritual blessings. The poorest saint on earth is rich. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Verse 4, "just as He chose us." So He has blessed us. He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and blameless before Him. Before God created everything, before God created anything, you were on His mind. He chose you. Your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. He chose you. That we should be holy and blameless before Him in love. He blessed us, He chose us, He loved us. He loved us not because we were so good, but in spite of the fact that we were as bad as we were. Paul talks in Romans chapter 5 that, you know, maybe for a good man, you know, if there was a doctor who was 2 weeks away from discovering a cure for cancer and he was dying, and somebody else could die in his place so he could live those 2 more weeks and get that cure for cancer, somebody might be willing to die for him. But what if that person who was dying and had 2 weeks to live was a murderer and a rapist? Who would be willing to die for that guy? And yet that's who Jesus died for. He blessed us. He chose us. He loves us. In love, He predestined us. He predestined us. He marked out beforehand what you're going to be like. You know what that is? You're going to be just like Jesus. We're going to be conformed to the image of God's Son. Why? Because God said so. God said so. Who does He think He is? Well, He's God, that's who. He can do whatever He wants. In love, He predestined us, number 5, to adoption. He adopted us. He made us part of His family. When we were children of Satan, He made us children of God. When we were dead in trespasses and sins, He made us alive. When we were darkness, He made us light. He blessed us, He chose us, He loved us, He predestined us, He adopted us. Now look at the end of verse 6. Or I'm sorry, look at the start of verse 6. To the praise of the glory of His grace. Underline that whole first phrase. To the praise of the glory of His grace. Why are you underlining that? You'll see. You'll see. God the Father deserves our praise. Why? Because of the glory of His grace. Of all those things that He did for us. Verse 7, in Him. In Him. This is Christ now. Verse 6 ended, which He, God the Father, freely bestowed on us in the Beloved One. That's Christ. So verse 7 then begins talking about what God the Son did for us. And there's another list. We're not going to take time to look at all of these in detail. I just want to touch the highlights to awaken in you the awe factor. Wow! What God has done for us. Verse 7, in Him we have redemption. He redeemed us. He bought us, as it were, out of the slave market of sin. The most beautiful picture of this in the Old Testament is Hosea, the minor prophet. When his wife had left him, forsaken him, had become a prostitute, and wound up being sold in the slave market, Hosea, in grace and love, went and bought her. She had disgraced him. And he went and bought her out of the slave market and took her home. What a God. What a Savior. In Him we have redemption. He redeemed us through His blood. He shed His blood for us. Without shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sin. So Jesus had to die on the cross. He had to shed His blood. And He did. Jesus said, no man takes my life from me. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it up again. He could have come down off that cross in the blink of an eye and wiped out the entire Roman army and all the Jewish leaders who were there before Him. But He didn't. He shed His blood for you and me. Why? Because that was necessary. We have redemption through His blood, forgiveness. What a beautiful word is forgiveness. The psalmist wrote, as far as the east is from the west, so far you have removed my transgressions from me. He forgave us. He doesn't say, okay, if you do this much penance or you do these good works, or I'll forgive you if you do these things, if you make up for it. He forgives us freely as a gift by His grace, because Jesus paid the full price for our sins. He redeemed us. He shed His blood. He forgives us according to the riches of His grace which He lavished on us. Imagine a great big beaker of God's grace up in heaven, and God's just pouring it out on you until you're just drenched with it. Until you're just drenched with it. He lavished His grace upon us. In all wisdom and insight, He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His kind intention which He purposed in Him, with a view to administration suitable to the fullness of all things, that is, a summing up of all things in Christ, things in heaven and on earth. In Him we have obtained an inheritance. He redeemed us. He shed His blood. He forgave us. He gave us an inheritance, having been predestined according to His purpose, who works all things after the counsel of His will. God is going to do what God is going to do, and it's going to be good and right. And He did it for us. Now look at verse 12. To the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ would be, underline this, to the praise of His glory. So in verse 6, you underline, to the praise of the glory of His grace. Now in verse 12, you're underlining, to the praise of His glory. We go on to verse 13. And we have the work of the Holy Spirit. In Him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise. Holy Spirit seals us in Christ. Some people say, I have eternal security, once saved, always saved. I don't believe in that. I'm sorry. It doesn't matter what you believe. God's truth is true whether you believe it or not. But you know what? If you believe what He says, you'll have a lot better time. If you think you can lose your salvation, then you'll have all sorts of worry and trauma and doubt. God doesn't want you to have that. God tells us we're sealed in Christ by the Holy Spirit. Is any power on heaven or earth stronger than the power of the Holy Spirit that sealed us in Christ? No. Then what have you got to worry about? Nothing. So we can go out and live any way we want to. Well, you don't want to do that. Instead, we can serve Him out of love and gratitude rather than serving Him out of fear. Why? Because the Holy Spirit sealed us. It was given as a pledge. We're translated pledge in verse 14 as an old-fashioned word. The King James said it was the earnest. Okay? How many of you remember the concept of putting earnest money down on something? Okay? It's like a down payment. You pay a down payment, and that's the guarantee you plan to come and pay the rest of the price and redeem that thing, that make it yours. The Holy Spirit's the down payment of our salvation. We don't have all the salvation we're going to get. The Holy Spirit is the down payment. Now look at the end of verse 14. To the praise of His glory. Underline that. So in verse 6, you underline, to the praise of the glory of His grace. Verse 12, to the praise of His glory. Verse 14, to the praise of His glory. Every paragraph detailing the work of the three persons of the Godhead ends with a doxology of praise to God. Our salvation is not just for our benefit. Our salvation is ultimately to bring glory to the God who planned it, provided it, and applied it. To the praise of the glory of His grace. You say, wow, Scripture talk about this kind of thing anywhere else? I'm so glad you asked. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. First Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to start actually kind of in the middle of the paragraph. We're going to start in verse 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 18, we see the message of salvation. Verse 18, "For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." There are some who say today, when you tell people about salvation, you don't need to tell them about the cross or Jesus dying or sin. Somebody needs to tell Paul that, because that was his message. "For the word of the cross." Verse 21, "For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached." What's the message preached? Verse 18, the word of the cross. "God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. But we preach," verse 23, "Christ crucified." How can you preach the gospel without preaching the death of Christ? Without preaching that he was crucified? Verse 24, "But to those of us who are the called ones, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." Verse 26, we have the message of salvation, verses 18 through 25. Verses 26 through 28, we have the selection to salvation. Look at verse 26. If you never underline 26, 27, 28, you know, just while I'm talking, do that. "For consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble." You dispute that? Look around. How many rich, wealthy, powerful, influential people do we have here in our church? Not many. Verse 27. "But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. And the base things of the world and the despised." God has chosen the things that are not, or literally the things that are nothings, so that he might make nothing the things that are something. Why? Verse 29, underline this. "So that no one may boast before God." How do we get saved? Verse 30. "But by his doing you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that, just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord." We can't even brag about the fact that, well, at least we had enough good sense to believe the gospel so we get saved. All the glory goes to him. He chose us, not because we were so desirable, but so we would more greatly show his grace. To the praise of his glory. Verse 29, "so that no man may boast before God." Verse 31, "so that just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord." When it comes to salvation, we don't have anything to brag about. Oh, maybe there is one thing. We can brag about our Lord. When it comes to salvation, we can brag on our Lord that he is so patient and so gracious and so loving. He gets the glory for our salvation. All of it. All of it. Go with me to the book of Romans. Okay? I'm sorry. Let me. Verse 29. No boasting. Verse 30. We are by his doing in Christ Jesus. Therefore, verse 31. Let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. You want to brag about something? Brag on God. Because you and I have nothing in us that we can brag about. Go with me to the book of Romans. Go to the end of Romans chapter 11. If you want to find Romans chapter 12, verse 1, you'll be right there. Back in August, I did a quick survey of the book of Romans for you, if you remember that. Romans chapters 1 through 11 is talking about our salvation, our justification before God. Paul uses five cycles, and the first cycle is showing the universal need. Everybody needs it. Second cycle shows the only means of salvation, by grace through faith. Then the third cycle begins to show some of the benefits of our salvation. The fourth cycle shows more benefits of our salvation. And in chapters 9 through 11, Paul probably raises a question that were on the minds of a lot of his readers. Wait a minute, what about Israel? What about Israel? You know, you chose Israel in the Old Testament. What about them? And so in chapters 9 through 11, verse 32, Paul answers the question, what about Israel? Paul, this is his most systematic, methodical, logical book in all of Scripture. Now look at chapter 11, verse 33. After Paul has presented this methodical, systematic presentation of salvation, it's like he can't contain himself. He bursts forth in this doxology of praise to God. Why? Because all the glory goes to God. Follow along with me. Romans 11:33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and unfathomable His ways. For who has not known the mind of the Lord? Who has become His counselor? Or who has first given to Him that it might be paid back to Him again? Now look at verse 36. For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. He is the source, He is the means, and He is the object of our salvation and all things. From Him as the ultimate source, through Him as the intermediate agent, to Him as the ultimate goal. It all has to do with Him. It all has to do with Him. Paul concludes that systematic presentation of salvation by breaking into a doxology praise to the God who planned, provided, and applied that salvation. You say, well, yeah, Dave, so maybe Paul was hung up on that, but I don't read this kind of thing anywhere else. Really? Go with me to 1 Peter. Just taking 1 Peter, since that's the book that we're working through after we get through with this five solas thing. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, Peter now, not Paul, Peter presents what God has done for us as part of our salvation. Start with me in the middle of verse 3. Say, why are we starting in the middle of verse 3? Trust me. Okay? We'll get to the beginning of verse 3 after we get 3 through 5. Start with me in the middle of verse 3. What has God done for us? According to His great mercy, He caused us to be born again. According to His great mercy, He caused us to be born again to a living hope. According to His great mercy, He caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance, verse 4, which is imperishable, undefiled, will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Well, but what if we don't make it? Oh, He covered that in verse 5. You who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Part of our salvation, God has caused us to be born again to a living hope with a guaranteed inheritance. Four different ways He says it's undefiled, will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. And in verse 5 He says, oh, and by the way, I'm guaranteeing you're going to get there to get it. Now look how He started verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused this. Praise to God. Why? Because He is the source of it. From Him and through Him and to Him are all things, as Paul would have said, as Paul did say in Romans 11:36. To God be the glory. Only to God. Sola Deo Gloria. To God goes all the glory. So our salvation, obviously, whether it's Ephesians, whether it's Romans, whether it's 1 Corinthians, whether it's 1 Peter, whenever our salvation is discussed, it is presented that God gets all the glory for it. But not only that, go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Okay, let me review again. Ephesians 1, 1 Corinthians 1, Romans, 1 Peter 1. In each of these passages, our salvation is always from God as the source and for God as the goal. From Him and for His glory. Soli Deo Gloria. But it's not just our salvation. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Paul's talking about mundane things like eating and drinking. Making choices every day about what we're going to do, how we're going to live our lives. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. You see, our whole life is to be lived for His glory. The decisions that we make, the choices that we make, are to be made for His glory. Don't answer, but let me ask you, so what are your plans for this afternoon? Oh, I did my thing for God. I came to church this morning, so this afternoon is mine. Oh, no, it's not. This afternoon belongs to God, too. Tomorrow morning when you go to work, that belongs to God too. Friday evening when you get off work for the week, that belongs to God too. Next Saturday, that belongs to God too. Just as our salvation is to bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ and to God the Father, every moment of every day of our lives is to bring glory to Him. Whether then you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. We should have in the back of our mind that whatever we do, we're going to glorify Him. We're going to glorify Him. Linda and I took some time off yesterday. We drove up to Estes Park, walked around town, walked around the lake. What a beautiful place. What a great place to give glory to God. Say, oh yeah, we didn't get to go to Estes Park, Dave. Have you looked outside? The trees? Have you looked at the mountains? How can anybody who lives in Denver not live their life giving glory to God? I can understand living in Ohio. I did 4 years there. I can understand how those people struggle trying to give glory to God. Okay? We referred to Cleveland as the armpit of the nation. Okay, we don't live there. We live here in beautiful Colorado. We have the glory of God in creation on display from every window, virtually. Our salvation is all to His glory. But our lives, our day by day, minute by minute choices are to be for His glory too. Say, oh, does that mean I don't ever get a chance to relax? No, you can relax for the glory of God. To gain your strength so that you can do something else to serve Him. Well, yeah, but I like to play tennis. Can you play tennis to the glory of God? Maybe you can. I'm not sure I can. Whatever you do, if you are consciously giving glory to God, you can wash dishes, you can change diapers, you can go to that terrible job you work on Mondays, and you can glorify God in the way you serve Him in everything that we do if our heart and mind are there. Or you can just go through the motions and do all of those same things and not give God a bit of glory. And the difference is your heart. The difference is your heart. And I so appreciate, as we've looked at these five solas, that we have come now to the conclusion. And the conclusion is, Scripture was given to us by the glory of God. Jesus was given to us by the glory of God. Grace was given to us as a gift from God. Faith was a gift from God. All glory goes to God. May these five essential truths of the Reformation that were established and discovered again, if you will, some 500 years ago, may they guide and direct our lives. May they continue to be the solid foundation of our faith and life, not just today, but until Jesus comes. To God be the glory, great things He has done. I almost picked that song, but I want you to leave here singing it. To God be the glory, great things He has done. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Let the people rejoice. May you leave here rejoicing in the glory of God. Father, thank you so much for your word that reveals your glory to us in a way that creation can't quite do, because your word tells us about the salvation we have, that you planned, that Jesus paid for, that the Holy Spirit applies and seals us for. Thank you, Father. Thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. As you leave here, may you go in the grace of God for the glory of God.